Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This is Andy and Steph, if you don't know them. I think Steph is from Arkansas, Andy's from Tennessee. You'll notice their accents are slightly different. North Arkansas. Yes. But they are here from on a mission from God, from heaven. They came to be part of this family, and Andy's going to be sharing this morning. And I just feel that we just want to stand with them and bless them and encourage them. Thank you, Jesus, you sent this family. Thank you for their sons.
Yes.
Thank you for your hand of favor that rests upon this family. Thank you, Lord. They're just in love with you. Flexible, malleable, and their hearts and their attitudes just finding heaven where they are.
Yes.
And we bless them and thank you for them. Can you pray for them?
Yeah. Father, I just thank you that being here is just a part of their journey. And I just pray, Father, that you would put in them just seeds of your kingdom for them to just spread it out with all the things that they do, all the relationships, and I pray that you would lead and guide them continually. We just bless them, bless their family, bless their health. And Lord, I just pray for grandmas and grandpas back home. And I just pray, God, that you would just see the seeds that they've sown in Andy and Steph and these boys and letting them come here. And as a grandma, I get that. Just help them too. Help them see that they're a part of this great journey. Just bless them in Jesus' name. We love them. Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, you can grab your seats, please. I'm going to have Andy, who is here. If you're newish here, my name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy. We have the privilege of serving in this community. And this is Andy. He is the worship pastor. He is an associate pastor. He's a friend, family. And we thank you for your kindness that's been extended towards this man. And we just, right now, we just thank you for the word he's carrying. Father, we say about ourselves, we are good soil. We want to hear from the word of God this morning and hear from your servant, that we would mix with faith what we receive from your word, Father. Be blessed and changed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Hey, it's been a little warm the last week for us Brits. Yeah, I thought we were living next to a volcano. Kids, young people. I don't know if you say young people here. People say youth quite a lot. In Britain, you would be called young people. So I'm going to call you young people today. I hope that's all right. Like I said earlier, I'm going to share something today, which is for you guys as much as it is for anybody else. I want to talk to the whole family today. That's us as a church family and in our individual families as well. I want to just share something that I think is going to be amazing for you guys to hear and implement as well. There isn't like a junior Holy Spirit. Everything's available to you guys as well. You're world changers. The disciples, most of them were like teenagers. So you can change the world. It's not just for like seasoned people like me. Why did people laugh at that? Wait. Matthew 18 says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's like a challenge to me, a challenge to us. That, you know, when we're looking, when we're watching the kids dancing and worshiping and jumping, and they can teach us something of what it is to worship, something of what it is to express our thankfulness to God. Whenever I talk to my kids, I'm always aware of just how present they are all the time. They're not thinking about the next thing. They're just right where they are. If that chocolate bar gets taken away, There is nothing else in the whole wide world other than that chocolate bar. They're just really, really present. And I think that's something for us to learn as adults who are usually planning ahead or reminiscing or thinking back. Actually, like, let's be present. Let's learn to be present, because when we become present, we become aware that God is present with us all the time. All right. So we know that God works in family. It's how he does things. John 1:11 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. Thank you, Finn. Or of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And in Romans 8 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's how we relate to God. He's our dad. Father. Family is how he does things. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Family is so, so important to God. And this morning we get to share, I get to share something that we can implement, I believe, as a family, as a church family. But also, I want to try and encourage us, challenge us to implement these things in our family as well. I was talking to Steph last night and I was like, oh, man, I'm challenged by this, because I feel like we need to start implementing these things into our family. And so I'm going to hopefully give you some tools today to take away and implement into our lives. Does that sound good? Awesome. So this morning's message is called Back to the Future. I was going to use a different graphic, maybe a more famous graphic, but decided for legal reasons I wouldn't. Back to the Future. So we are in the book of Acts at the moment as a church, and I want to rewind a little bit and go all the way back to Acts 2, and just to recap what's happened so far. The disciples, Jesus has been raised from the dead, he's ascended to heaven, he's told the disciples to wait for the helper that's going to come, and they're waiting. They're in Jerusalem, and Pentecost happens, the Holy Spirit falls, tongues of fire, they're speaking tongues, they pour out of that building. Peter gets up, issues the first sermon ever, the first message. 3,000 people go, wow, I want more of that. I want to know about this Jesus. I want to give my life to pursuing him. So I'm going to set aside everything else, and I'm going to pursue him and him alone. And then straight after that, we have Acts 2, 42 to 47. I'm just going to read that. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And just by way of raised hands, who thinks that sounds amazing? That sounds like just the best thing ever. If you want to like go, cool, what do you want life to look like? That, please. I'll just have that. I'll have just no lack, everyone in community together, praying for each other, seeing signs and miracles, seeing people being saved every day. That sounds incredible. I want that. So we're going to go back to the future a little bit, because this is the birth of church. This is before Paul was like, oh gosh, Galatians, you church in Galatia, come on, I'm going to write a letter and help you fix some things. Because before all of those things, it's just like beautiful, pure, before people got involved, before it got messy, before any of that kind of stuff happened, before basically the rest of the New Testament. This is just this beautiful picture of church and how it was right at the very start. So we're going to go back to the future this morning. And there's four things that I just want to look at this morning, and they're all found in that first verse, 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It's just everything right there, the things that they devoted themselves to. And devotion, that word that's used here, devotion is a Greek word that's used, it means steadfastly pursuing something. Steadfastly pursuing. And I was just thinking about this. I was like, I wonder what I'm devoted to in my life. Because I realized pretty quickly that there's not very many things that I'm devoted to, other than maybe following my own feelings, which means that I'm devoted to change, maybe. But like, I remember when we had our first child, Finn, that was quite a shock because I realized that I had to be devoted to him. If he was crying and he needed to be picked up or he needed to be fed, that was what was going to happen. That required my devotion. It required me to steadfastly continuing to love him, to help him out, and to see him grow. I had to be unwaveringly in pursuit of him. And I realized in my life that there's not many things that fall into that category for me. I'm obviously English. Ben, as you can see by the top that he's wearing today, is an England football fan, and they kick off in a crucial game, actually, in 12 minutes. So we should all pray for that, actually. That's a good idea. But hey, it's been a rough old ride in this tournament so far, and despite the fact that I'm English and support England, my devotion to England has waned a little bit as I've seen the tactics that that particular football team put out on the pitch. I've been like, oh man, this is pretty hard. Like, this is difficult, but I am devoted to supporting England. So I'm going to keep watching and I'm going to keep supporting. So maybe that's one thing that I am devoted to. But they were devoted to these four things as an early church. Hello, Toby. So the first one, the apostles' teaching. So this was... most scholars would say, hey, this is the teaching of Jesus. The apostles were the guys who were there, eyewitnesses of Jesus. They spent time with him. Remember that in the New Testament, they didn't have the New Testament to read. Like, they weren't going, cool. So day one of church, let's just open up the book of Romans and read what Paul's going to write about in like 30 or 40 years. They didn't do that. So they just had the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. So the apostles' teaching was probably just, hey, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus said. This is who he was. This is how he is the word. So what we would call the Old Testament, this is how Jesus fits into that great big story that God's been telling right from the beginning of time, right from Genesis all the way through. This is how Jesus, the word who became flesh, fits into this big, big story. And so they're sat around together and they're like, I want to learn more about Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. I want to devote myself to learning about Jesus. Now, we can do that by spending time with him. We have the word. We have the New Testament now. We have this book right here, which is something that we can read. And every time we open up these pages, we learn about Jesus. He's on every page. He's in every word. He's, I think Dan says often, the Bible's the only book that you open up and read, and the author's always in the room with you every time you open it up. So every time we open this book, we can learn about Jesus. So how do we become devoted to the word? How do we become devoted to learning about Jesus, to following the apostles' teaching, to learning the ways of Jesus? And this is our daily challenge. I want to leave you with four daily challenges for each thing. Right, my challenge is to be more devoted to the word of God. How do I do that? How do I implement that in my life? I really like a game called Football Manager, or I used to when I actually had a little bit of time. It's basically a football management sim or a soccer management sim where you don't even play the game. You just put the players on the pitch and press go, and then the computer decides if you win or not. It sounds really bad. It's really fun. I just for fun decided to look at how much time I had sunk into that game since it came out in 2018. Yeah, because honestly, guys, one of my biggest thing when spending time in the Word is I just don't have time. Like, I'm just really busy. Like, there's just stuff to do, and I've got two young kids, and like, life is busy. And I just decided to have a quick look. Now, this isn't Netflix. This isn't YouTube. This isn't Spotify. This isn't podcast. This is just Football Manager. And since 2018, my computer reliably informed me that I've spent 700 hours playing this game, which is 29 days. I spent a whole month just sat playing this game. I can see some of your faces like, oh my gosh. Like, stop judging me. It's all right. Everyone's friends here. We're family. But hey, this was a challenge to me. Like, hey, if I'm devoted to something, then it goes ahead of everything else. I can't just hear my children cry and go, whatever. Like, I'd rather keep playing Football Manager. My devotion to them says, no, I'm steadfastly moving towards them. So I'm going to drop that and I'm going to do this. So we need to be steadfastly devoted to the Word. So here's challenge number one. How do we devote ourselves to the Word? Tomorrow, on Wednesday afternoon, on Friday when we've had a really bad day, what are we doing? Just one thing, just opening up this book, sticking it on in our ears when we're mowing the lawn, like just something, getting it in somehow, because I'm devoted to it. If it's 2 hours, great. If it's 2 minutes, great. Doesn't matter, but I have decided, like that Psalm 9, I will. I am devoted to getting the Word into my life. So that's number one. Number two is fellowship. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The word here means it's partner or companion. That's what it means. And the key here is proximity. It's about proximity. If someone's your partner or your companion, then they're really close to you. I kind of was thinking of, if anyone's seen Lord of the Rings, like the fellowship of the ring. Like, there is this togetherness about them. They went on a journey and there were highs and lows and there were battles and there were beautiful moments and all of this wonderful stuff, but they were fellowshipped. They were together. And it's just a really beautiful picture of what fellowship is. So here's a question. Who are we in close proximity to? One of my favorite things to do with Finn as he gets his head stuck in the lectern. That's going to be an interesting one, mate. hey, we went to the cinema not long ago and we watched the Mighty Pups movie, didn't we? Yeah, you can see how excited he is about the Mighty Pups movie. And the thing about the Mighty Pups movie, if any of you who have kids have seen it, or if you don't have kids and you've seen it, that's okay too. It's pretty good. It's going to sound weird explaining it. They're a group of dogs who have like special powers and special things that when they work together as a team, they do drive cars. When they work together as a team, they become something that they couldn't be when they're just individually doing their thing. And it's about their teamwork together. And the Mighty Pups have like special superpowers. And when they work together as a team, yes, Marshall can get fired. Exactly. They just work together as a team in a way that they couldn't do before. And it's amazing, this beautiful picture of fellowship, teamwork, togetherness. So, Zuma could turn into water. I think afterwards you should teach a class on the Mighty Pups. So here's the daily challenge. Are we spending time every day, every day in fellowship with one another? And what does that look like? Because I can hear certain people say, hey, but actually when this was written, like in the time of Acts, different culture, different society, everyone gathered together in like the town. It's actually kind of English living. Like, we gathered together in the town center every day and walked a lot. And so everyone was together. But this is a different world that we live in right now. So how do we do that? So here's the challenge. Every day, can you text someone? Hey, how you doing? Thinking of you today. Can you call someone? Can you take someone out for coffee, lunch? Can you go on a walk? And it doesn't necessarily need to be someone in this room. It can be someone outside of this room, a colleague, a family member, a friend, like just anybody. How are we living in community? How are we living in fellowship with people, with one another. I had a little quick Google last night and was pretty shocked at this. This is the first thing that Google said. It says this: statistics show that one in three people, or close to 33% of people in the United States, experience loneliness on a regular basis. 61% of young people in the United States say they are chronically lonely. 51% of mothers of young children also report feeling lonely. We've never, in some ways, been more connected because of these things, but we've also never been further apart. So, what can we do as the people of God to actually connect in fellowship to each other and to those around us? Every day, guys. Doesn't need to be a big thing. If you've got the time, yeah, spend an hour doing it. But just a text. Just like, hey, how you doing? I'm just going to throw a text out your way. Hey, I'm thinking of you today, because we're devoted to fellowship with each other. All right, how we doing? Number three, the breaking of bread. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, which I've defined here as worship. The breaking of bread, remembrance and thanksgiving. Remembrance of what Jesus did and thankfulness for who he is. And worship can look like praise and he could. We're still talking about Paw Patrol over here. Worship can be corporate. It can be private. So gathering together here on a Sunday morning is worship. But equally, worship can happen in our homes. Worship can happen in the car. Worship can happen while you're cutting the grass. That's kind of where it happens for me all the time. And it's thanksgiving and praise. And there's this amazing little book by a guy called Brother Lawrence, who was a monk in France in the 1600s. And he just wrote this beautiful quote, which is just the heart of worship. Worship for me is just the direction that we're pointed. We're like moving towards Jesus because he has our worship. Worship is just the direction that you're heading. You have my worth, so I'm going that way. Brother Lawrence says this: he does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time. A little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces past and present he has bestowed on you in the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. Just this beautiful reminder that all we have to do is just shift our direction a little bit. He's closer than we think. Just like the kids earlier, they're present all the time, which opens them up to the presence of God, I believe. That's why the challenge from Jesus is to become like little children. Because when we're somewhere else, we're not present. And that's why he is present with us all the time. So the daily challenge: how can we spend time in worship every day? That might look like singing, might look like journaling, might look like playing some music, just listening to some worship songs. It's just turning our attention and our adoration to God. Could be to dance, could be to wave flags. One of my favorite quotes about worship is by a guy called A.W. Tozer. He said, the most theologically appropriate response to the gospel is to dance. I love that. Just like, yeah. The most theologically appropriate way to respond to what Jesus has done for us is to dance. I love that. It's beautiful. And it's to break bread as well, to share in the Lord's Supper, to remember his body and his blood, his body broken for us, his blood poured out for us. It's life and healing, forgiveness of sins. That's our worship together. So how daily do we devote ourselves to worship? Singing, journaling, dancing, writing, whatever. But every day we need to devote ourselves and get this in. And finally, prayer. Prayer is connection with God. The last thing they did was they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer is connection with God. It's talking to him. And in family, don't know about you guys, but there's kind of two primary ways that I connect and relate with my family. It's either just happening while we do other things. So I'll be washing the dishes or cooking something or in the middle of a task, and I'll also be talking to Steph or talking to the kids. And she doesn't have my like full attention. She's got like 50% of it, but we're still in connection. And if I'm being completely honest, and if we all are being completely honest, the challenge in any relationship is taking that kind of connection down and that one-on-one personal look into the eyes connection up. Date night, basically. When me and Steph get to go out and we get to connect and we get to eat food and we get to talk and we get to look into each other's eyes and actually connect with each other, that's where connection really happens. But we can't do that all the time. So having that constant connection that's just happening is important as well. And I think prayer kind of exists in both those places for me. It's that I'm driving to the shops. Lord, hey, how are you today? Whenever I ask God, hey, how are you doing? He always responds. The first thing he always says is, hey, I love you. The first thing, doesn't say anything else. He just says, Andy, I love you. Then we start talking. It always starts there for me. So there's always going to the shops, running errands, cutting the lawn, talking to my kids, like praying all the time, devoting myself to prayer. Right, Lord, hey, how are you doing? There's that, but there's also another aspect of prayer, which I'm like, I need to get better at this, which is that, if you want, like that date night, that like, cool, I'm getting time away with the Lord and I'm going to look into his eyes. Nothing else is coming in here. We got 2 hours apart. We got an hour apart. We got 15 minutes apart. And so there's those two different aspects of prayer. There's an amazing book, if you want to learn more about prayer, by a guy called Pete Gregg. And he uses this really amazing acronym, which is going to help us in our daily challenge. How do we devote ourselves to praying more? It's an acronym of pray. So the first one, P, is to pause. Just to stop. Whatever we're doing, just pause. And wait. Turn our attention to the Lord. R is rejoice. Cool. Now I've paused. Now I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for this. Thank you. Just going to get my list of thankfulness out. A is ask. Okay, Lord, I would love this. Can you give me wisdom on this? I'd love to see healing in this area of my life, in this person's life. And the final thing, the Y, is to yield. And we yield to the will of God. And we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. We devote ourselves to prayer. And we can do that privately, individually, and there's loads of prayer groups that meet. There's prayer groups here at the church that meet. There's a prayer call as well. Prayer on a Saturday morning. There's loads of opportunities to pray. But they devoted themselves to prayer. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All right, great. But how? That's good, right? I'm getting on board. I'm going to tell should I tell this? Great, but how? Tom's saying yes, but he has no idea what I'm about to say. All right, so GBH in England means grievous bodily harm. And it's what you're charged with if you hit someone by the police. So every time I hear someone say GBH, I'm like, oh, wait, what? Who's doing that? Anyway, so I'm just going to say great, but how from now on. Great, but how? Okay, so here we go. For me, talking about anything here is great. But actually what happens when we leave this building, when we go back into our homes, when we go back into our places of work, when it's just later on today and the kids are kicking off and I'm like, ah, that's where the rubber hits the road. So we get to leave here now and put this into practice, to be devoted to the Word of God every day. I'm going to find space. I'm going to find time. And maybe you're like, I've got that one down. Like, I know I spend like an hour and a half every day in prayer. Amazing. Sorry, reading the Word. Amazing. That's great. There'll be some people here and you're like, oh, man, I can't even remember the last time that I read my Bible. There's absolutely no shame, no condemnation. He's a good father. That's not how he works. He just wants you. He just wants you. So he's just like, there, open arms. Hey, come and hang out with me. I love it when we hang out. So So he's just there waiting, arms wide open. So tomorrow, just get your Bible out. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't be like, cool, I'm going to read the whole book of Acts tomorrow. Just read, like, I don't know, a chapter, even a verse. Just get it in. Just be devoted to the Word of God. Be devoted to fellowship. So tomorrow, right, I'm going to text someone today. I'm going to call someone today. I'm going to stop in on someone today. I'm going to just do something today in devotion towards fellowship. Am I devoted to worship, to the breaking of bread, to remembering who Jesus is and what he's done, that I can give my adoration to him in worship? Where am I doing that today, and what does that look like? But every day I'm going to do it. I'm going to move stuff out of the way to make room for this because I'm devoted to it. And in prayer, what does that look like for you? And their answers will be different all across the room. How can I pray today? What does that look like? And again, there'll be people who, prayer warriors, who pray 15 hours a day. Amazing. There'll also be people here who are like, yeah, I could really do with working on my prayer life. And that's totally fine. The important thing is, I'm going to be devoted to that and I'm going to move towards it. I'm going to start with baby steps and I'm going to move this way. I'm devoted to these four things. So, just real simple things for you guys to take away. If you want, and I would challenge you to do this, don't leave this building this morning without agreeing to ask somebody, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your children, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a stranger. Hey, can you ask me every day, hey, how have you devoted yourself to the Word today? How have you devoted yourself to fellowship today? How have you devoted yourself to prayer today? How have you devoted yourself to worship today? Every day, just send a text. I'm going to talk to Steph every day. Hey, how have we done this today? And if we haven't, let's do it right now because we're devoted to it. So we're going to do it. Here we go. Let's go. So don't leave today without just finding someone and saying, hey, I want to go on this journey with you. We're putting fellowship into practice right now. I want to go on this journey with you, and I want to help you, and you help me. Text me every day. How's it going? How are you doing with that? Have you done it? If not, hey, I just encourage you to do it. So that's one thing. And the second thing is I've been told, reliably informed, that it's the 4th of July very soon. Now, for obvious reasons, this is a holiday that we've never celebrated before. But we're not going to talk about that. Hey, so the 4th of July weekend, find somebody in this room this morning and say, hey, you got any plans? Do you want to come over? Do you want to come and hang out? Just come around. Like, we're going to have a barbecue, we're going to grill, we're going to do something, we're going to have fireworks. I don't know what happens at 4th of July party, but you do. Just invite someone. Just go, right, we're going to be devoted to fellowship, and it's starting right now with each other. Hey, come round. Come round to my house on Friday night and Saturday night. Just come and hang out and be together. The other thing that I find really, really helpful is, because I look at my phone quite a lot, you probably can't see this, but I made just like these four things just on my phone. Every time I look at my phone, oh yeah, fellowship, worship, prayer, and teaching. Okay, cool, great. I'm not going to open Instagram. I'm going to do one of those four things. So I'm going to put that on the Slack channel that you can just download, and then you can just save it as your wallpaper on your phone. So you can have that as well. I find that kind of stuff super, super helpful because by Wednesday, if you're anything like me, I'll be like, oh, I'm just really busy again and I'm just running. But if we're devoted to this, it's like, no, I need to keep coming back and saying I'm devoted to this, devoted to these four things. Because like I started with, that picture of the church in Acts, I want that. I want that. I want to see people being saved daily. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see no lack. I want to see all of those amazing, beautiful things that the church is. I don't want to just put on meetings. I don't want to just gather together as a club and be like, hey, this is all nice. This is lovely. I want to like see lives changed and Jesus glorified. I want to see the city changed and healed and set free in Jesus' name. And we can do that simply every day. Devote ourselves to just these four things. And I believe we'll see our lives change as a church, as families, and the lives of those around us change. So, if you are able to, I'm just going to stand, we're going to pray, and then we can go home and watch the football. Soccer. Yes. Yeah, Lord, we want you. Over and above everything else, we want you. We need you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for our families, and we thank you that we're part of a family. We thank you that we're part of your family, that you're our Father, and that your banner over us is love. And Jesus, we just want to respond to this message, to these words, not in theory, not just in like, great, that was cool, I've written some notes, or maybe there's a couple of things to think about, but we want to respond in practice. We want to take this away and see it outworked in our lives. So Lord, would you help us by your Holy Spirit this coming week to devote ourselves to your word, to fellowship together, to worship, and to prayer, that we would become more like you, and that we would see those around us radically changed and transformed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Just real quick, if you are here this morning and you would like someone to pray with you, if you have a financial need, relational need, just a challenge going on, you're just like, oh, I feel so alone in this, we would like to pray with you. So if that is you, please feel free to come up. We have a prayer team here. Be dismissed. Have an amazing, Andy, I think I heard England's down 2-0. I don't even know what that means. Good news. Good news. Be blessed, be encouraged, have an amazing week, and do, just put it in practice. What are those four things? Download them. I can't do that fancy stuff on my phone, but I can download it and put it on mine. Have an amazing week. Be blessed. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.